Cochran Show, Radio 720, WGN. Matt Bubala with you today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, 7:40 a.m., we're giving away some Hawks tickets. Make sure you tune in. But tune in this afternoon to Brian Noonan. He's filling in for Rokan. He'll have some Hawks tickets as well. James Van Osdell and Amy Guther in this afternoon for Bill and Wendy. The first half of the Bill and Wendy Show today is Rick Kogan. So lots of fun people hanging out here all day long on 720 WGN. Dr. Victoria Dunkley is the author of Reset Your Child's Brain. So all of you parents who are at home with your kids who've been off of school for into week two now, and we're getting to the middle of the week, and we're kind of getting to that point, aren't we? Where it's like, you know what? It's time to get back to school. Because they're sitting around all day using their thumbs on some device or looking at a tablet or just staring at screens. Gather them around the radio for a minute, because Dr. Victoria Dunkley will help us tell them why that's not the best idea. Good morning, Dr. Dunkley.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. I appreciate it. I know you had a lot of travel yesterday, so thanks for jumping on the phone. If our kids have done nothing since Christmas break started but play on their tablets, their iPods, their iPhones, their PlayStations, Xboxes, everything else, we're a week and a half into the holiday here. How bad of an idea is it that we let them do that all day long?
Right. So, you know, during the winter holidays, instead of being a break now, kids are not only at home all day, they're also getting all these devices as gifts. So it really accumulates. So what happens is every time a child picks up a screen device, the nervous system interprets that as a stress because of the intensity of the experience. So it goes into a state of fight or flight. And when that happens repeatedly, all sorts of changes happen in the brain in terms of brain chemistry, hormones, stress hormones, other hormonal changes as well. The body clock gets disrupted, brain blood flow changes. So all of these changes accumulate, and then those turn into difficulty regulating emotion, trouble following directions and focusing, changes in social skills, and even empathy and compassion are impaired. So that really the child can become impaired over a matter of days or weeks, and then what happens is right after the winter break, a lot of kids have exacerbations and symptoms in terms of learning problems, focusing, you know, having meltdowns, having trouble sleeping because they've had all this exposure over the winter holiday.
That's really interesting, because I think we think about, oh, they're not using their brains enough, they're being sedentary too long, but we don't think about the actual things they're taking into their brain and how that's actually affecting them. So this is much more than just, oh, you're sitting around, you're not using your brain to think at all. This is the way we're taking in light impulses through our eyes into our brains, all sorts of things like that. You're saying truly will affect our kids more than just, oh, you laid around on the couch all day.
Exactly. And one of the interesting things is that parents feel like the interactive screen time, so, you know, playing games or getting an iPad, that those are safer because the child's actually interacting with it. At least they're not just sitting there watching TV, you know, like a couch potato. But actually the interactive screen time is much more disruptive to the nervous system, and it keeps the child using it longer because it's so engaging.
So not only using it longer, but I believe I've asked you before, like if I'm going to bed at night, I like the kids to read, or I should be reading maybe before I go to bed. A lot of times we talk about don't watch TV, tire your eyes out, go ahead and read a book. But if I'm reading it on my iPad or my Kindle, that's not a good idea, right?
Exactly. So, you know, some of the studies have shown that even the Kindle that has the electronic ink that's not supposed to have a backlit screen, even those are harder on the brain, you know, to process the information, and they do cause sleep problems, even though it's not the same intensity of the screen. So really, you can't beat reading from paper.
No matter what the tablet is like, you'd rather people were reading from paper, especially late at night, right? If you're on a train, you're on a bus during your day, it's one thing, you don't want them doing it too much, but especially when you're going to bed, would you say?
Exactly. And for kids, their melatonin can get suppressed very easily. So even 10 minutes of a screen can actually suppress melatonin. And once that melatonin is suppressed, the body clock gets disrupted, and then it creates a vicious cycle because the next day the child's tired, then they want more screen exposure because it alerts them. And then, you know, it creates a vicious cycle.
The electronics industry is unhappy with you, and they've sabotaged your phone line, by the way. Sounds like you're calling from a submarine underwater with an electrical cord draped across it. So we'll just keep you on for another minute or so. What's your general advice to parents if their kids are using tablets or phones as they get older in their teenage years? How much would you say they should be restricting the use of those things?
Well, it sort of depends on the child. So kids who are struggling in school or having emotional problems, trouble focusing, or trouble making friends, those kids really should, you know, I would recommend that they take a clean 3 to 4 week break to see what kind of improvements the child will have. And then other kids, if they're functioning well and they're sleeping well and they're doing okay in school, then, you know, I recommend maybe a little bit on the weekends. But really, the parents should gauge it more on how the child's functioning. And they should be as strict as possible if the child's struggling in any area.
If the child's struggling, how does the tablet, the game, relate to that? Is it helps them be antisocial because they can spend more time by themselves? Or is it, do you feel, actually related to the light and the way their eyes are taking these things in?
Yeah, it's both. I think, you know, really we get better at socializing with practice. So kids who have, you know, social awkwardness or they're just not naturally good at socializing, or they avoid eye contact, they're not going to get that practice because they can escape to the screen. And also just being in that state of fight or flight makes you avoid eye contact, because that's what animals do. They they see that as a threat when you make eye contact. So then the child avoids it more, but really eye contact helps the brain develop. So it's all sorts of, you know, interesting physiological things that happen that have nothing to do with whether the content is educational or not.
Dr. Victoria Dunkley, the author of, what's the book again, Reset?
Yeah, Reset Your Child's Brain, and it's a 4-week plan to end meltdowns, raise grades, and boost social skills by reversing the effects of electronic screen time. And also there's a free email course on resetyourchildsbrain.com.
And you can also follow her on Twitter at Dr. Dunkley on Twitter. Dr. Victoria Dunkley, thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much, Matt.
You bet. Have a great day. So all you parents out there whose kids have been using it nonstop, including at my own house where we try to be good. I mean, during school, they can't have it until the weekend, and we try to make that the rule. But as we get into the holidays, you have a million things going on. We slack off on that, certainly during break, and probably need to start reining it back in here as we head into the second half of week 2. More to come here on 720 WGN.